Before the pandemic, our relationship was already in trouble.
It's like we argue about everything.
I mean, he comes home and he sits in the driveway, in the car, instead of coming into the house with me and his son.
See, she doesn't trust me. And she talks about me to her girlfriends. Like she speaks so loudly like she wants me to hear. What am I supposed to do with that?
Why do you have to get out of the bed at 11:20 at night to return a text?
You see? She doesn't even know how to talk to me.
And he refuses to talk to me.
Like the first couple weeks of quarantine, together in the house all day and all night, just confirmed it's me.
I can't do this anymore.
You know what? I'm done.
I think I'm done.
Maybe we need to get some help.
I think we need to talk to somebody.
Marriages are under attack. And if you or someone you know needs help, then join Pastors Lewis and Stephanie Tucker for My Church Marriage Seer Training. Pastors Lewis and Stephanie Tucker have designed a course to help your marriage to not just survive, but to thrive. Get the tools necessary for a successful biblical marriage. You can enjoy this course live on Roku, Fire Stick, and Apple TV. Why not make an investment into your marriage that will impact generations? My Church Lynchburg Marriage Seer Training.
Good evening. I'm Pastor Tuck, and this is my beautiful wife, Pastor Steph, and welcome to My Church Marriage Seer Training. Now, I know some of you may be wondering, what is seer training? Well, in the military, soldiers who are part of special forces are required to go through SEER training, which stands for Survival, Evasion, Resistance, and Escape, so that in the case of capture, they may endure the extreme conditions they may endure at the hand of the enemy. Well, Pastor Stephanie and I are going to teach you how to go from just surviving marriage to enjoying marriage by retraining you so that you can endure the trials of life. And if you'll commit to joining us every third Thursday, we're going to give you the tools necessary to maintain and have a successful biblical marriage. But before we begin, let us pray. Pastor Stephanie, lead us in a word of prayer.
Dear Lord, we thank you, Father God, for this day. We pray, Lord God, that everything that's been done, Lord God, hopefully it's been to glorify you. And Lord, I just pray that you just touch every couple that has joined us this evening and even after this evening, Lord God, they can go back and take a look at what we discussed. And Lord, I pray that you just continue just to cover every marriage. Lord God, I pray that you continue to have your hand and be in the midst of it as a three chord. And Father God, I just thank you right now. And we give it all back unto you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. This evening, we want to talk about something that we will all have to deal with in our lives and relationships. And that is conflict, or what we call intense moments of fellowship. Because conflict in marriage is inevitable. No matter who you are or how much you love each other, when you have two imperfect people sharing life together, they will always, not always agree. Because at the end of the day, you are still two different people with two different backgrounds and upbringings. And your distinct personalities and preferences won't always align. But the key is how to resolve these matters efficiently and effectively and in a manner that does not damage your relationship.
So our focus tonight will be on fighting fair, because the issue is not whether couples fight, but how they fight. See, when we are upset and emotional, we don't always consider each other or the impact that our words or actions may have on our relationship. And many couples fight to win, but God calls us to fight fair, not against each other, but for each other and for the sake of the marriage. See, conflict, when handled biblically, can actually deepen intimacy and strengthen trust.
You know, one of the things we've got to recognize is that anger is natural. You know, when you're in a conflict or intense moment of fellowship, it's natural to get angry. I mean, that's one of the human emotions that all of us feel. But sin is optional. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, 26, it says, be angry, but do not sin. It says, do not let the sun go down on your wrath. You know, one of the things that you see a lot in couples is, you know, going through these periods where you don't speak to one another, where, you know, this silent treatment, this, you know, walking around with attitudes with one another because somebody did something, somebody said something, and this thing of, you know, we've got a case with one another, as some people call it, you know, and this thing is that's not the way God intended for us to handle things. Anger itself is not a sin. Even Jesus displayed righteous anger, because when you're upset, you're upset. That's a feeling that you have, and expressing that is not even a bad thing. But unchecked anger leads to hurtful words. When you're holding things in and you're not saying things, sometimes they come out in outbursts. Sometimes it's handled in resentment. You know, even silence breeds distance. It puts you in a place when you don't say the things that you feel, when you don't say the things, when you don't have that conversation that needs to be had, it leads to a place of resentment and bitterness, and this thing where now you're harboring these feelings against one another instead of having a conversation and explaining your point of view so that each other understands where you're coming from. You know, the Bible commands us not to let anger linger overnight. See, because these unresolved issues have a tendency to harden our hearts. It puts us in a place where we start to have negative feelings toward one another, and it starts to erode at our relationship. When conflict arises, you need to pause. You need to pray. You need to invite the Holy Spirit to guide you in your response. You may need to delay your words and start to think about the words that you may speak during the heat of the argument or during that moment of anger, so that you're not saying hurtful things. I remember when we first got married, one of the things that we had to do, we had to set some ground rules, because when we first got married, neither of us were truly saved. We were not in that regenerative place, and our tongues definitely were not regenerated. And so we had a tendency to, as they say, let the fur fly. We would say things. And so we had to immediately had to come to that place where we had to set some ground rules as far as when we were going to argue, when we had these intense moments of fellowship, is to make sure that we had set some ground rules as how we were going to speak to one another, because you can easily start saying words to and about one another that you can't take back. You can't take your words back. So when you start calling each other names, when you start cursing one another, these are things that you can't take back. So you need to start taking time to pray and be careful about how you utilize your language, because words are some of the most hurtful things that you can ever utilize. When we were kids, we learned this little poem in school. Sticks and stones may break your bones, but words will never hurt me. Well, that's one of the greatest lies that the enemy ever used. Words are very damaging. And so we got to be careful how we utilize our words. And so we've got to be very calculating. We've got to be very intentional about how we utilize our words, especially when we're upset, especially when we're in those moments. So we've got to understand and take our time to communicate exactly what it is that we want to communicate.
It's important to attack the problem, not the person. If you look at Matthew 18, verse 15, Matthew chapter 18, verse 15, it says, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. See, conflict escalates when couples point fingers instead of addressing the real issue. There's always a real issue underneath anger. So Jesus instructs us to confront offenses directly, but privately and respectfully. Healthy conflict resolution focuses on solving the issue, not blaming or shaming your spouse. Sorry, I got a spasm. Application is you basically have to replace "you never" or "you always" with "I feel" statements. For example, "I feel hurt when I don't feel heard." Now, does that always happen perfectly? No. You know, there's a lot of other things that are involved other than words. You have your nonverbal reactions. You have things that may kind of bring up old or past feelings that you recognize that you haven't let go. And that will affect healthy conflict resolution. It's so easy to say, you know, shame, feeling bad about yourself, but then going shame on you, shame on you, shame on you. And the purpose is not to shame one another, but to actually discuss it privately and respectfully. You know, the last thing you want to do is shame your spouse in public or blame them in public or even around, quote unquote, your friends. You know, you could be at something at your house and you have a lot of people over, and then all of a sudden conflict escalates when couples begin to point fingers instead of addressing the real issue. And, you know, I statements are very crucial with communication because you have to hear what the person is saying. For example, you know, like, "I feel hurt when I don't feel heard." And the reality is we all have emotions, you know. The reality is there are some times that we may not even think what we're saying is coming across in an appropriate way. But when somebody uses the "I feel," if my husband used the "I feel" statement and I actually recognize, oh my God, he does have feelings, you know, it will cause me to step back and reevaluate myself in order to prevent further offenses or further conflicts.
You know, one of the biggest mistakes in relationships is men are insensitive to women's feelings and women don't think men have any. That's one of the most often offenses that take place in relationships. Because men don't often talk about their feelings, women don't think we have any. And men, because we're not as emotional as women, we're very insensitive to women's feelings. And so that's why these kinds of statements and conversations are very important, so that you're very in tune with how one another are feeling. Something that Pastor Stephanie just said was very important in that scripture. He says, "If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone." It says Jesus instructs us to confront offenses directly, privately, and respectfully. That means that's between you and your spouse. That means you don't go and talk about what they've done to somebody else and carry those offenses somewhere else, because that's going to cause further issue in your relationship. Because when you start involving other people in the conflict and you start actually degrading your spouse, you're going to start breaking down and deteriorating the trust in your relationship. And you're actually going to be devaluing the person that you should value the most. And it's going to be hard to come back from that. And so you got to start recognizing that the people that are around you that should be helping to elevate your relationship or helping to hold up your relationship, they're going to become people who are actually working against your relationship, because all they're getting are negative reports. And so you got to be careful about involving outsiders in your relationship. Go to only people who are wise enough that are going to be helpful and not actually see your spouse or that person in a negative light. Somebody who's going to be able to help and give you wise counsel. Another thing is you got to use gentle words and not harsh words. The Bible says in Proverbs 15:1, it says, "A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." A harsh tone stirs up defensiveness, but gentleness disarms anger. And so that's why we've got to be careful how we present things. You know, as men, we a lot of times we are not very practiced or very used to having to be particular about how we speak. Because as men, especially as we grow up as little boys, we're used to being around other little boys. That's just usually how we're raised. And so we're used to being rough, handling each other rough, just dealing with each other rough, and communicating with men, communicating with other men. You're not half used to having to temper your words or being calculated about how you speak, because you're constantly just being able to just say what you feel straight up, because men deal with men on a different level. And so when you get into a relationship, that's different. You've got to be very careful about how you choose to take your words and your tones, because it's different dealing with men than dealing with women. And that's why you have to learn how to do these things. You got to recognize that the goal is not to win the argument, but to persevere or preserve your relationship. You're trying to persevere through this and to preserve your relationship. I remember one of the greatest lessons I learned early on in our relationship was because we were constantly going back and forth and back and forth. And I remember sitting down with our spiritual parents, and, you know, I've always been one of those people that was like, you know, right and logic was my guiding principle. And so it's like whether or not it was right or wrong was the only thing that mattered to me. And so we were in an argument, and so we were going back and forth and back and forth. And so we were sitting down with our spiritual parents having a conversation, and they were trying to help me see what was wrong in the situation. And it was like, but I was right. And so that was the only thing I was holding on to, and I was right. And I remember in that conversation, and so my spiritual mom took her out of the room, and then me and my spiritual dad are having a conversation, and we're going back and forth, and I'm still like, but I was right. And at a certain point, he broke it down. He was like, but do you want to be right, or do you want to do what's right? And that was when the light bulb came on for me, that the goal is not to win the argument, but to preserve your relationship. He said, because you can be right and not be doing what's right because you're hurting your wife. And so when I recognize that, that's the difference. And that's what you have to understand when you're in conflict. It's not about winning the argument. It's about preserving your relationship. And so that's why it's so important to fight fair, because you're not fighting to win the battle. You're fighting for your relationship. And so it shouldn't be who's right and who's wrong. It's about the survival of our relationship. See, a couple should seek reconciliation, not revenge. Oh, that's huge, because that's the issue. So many times we just want the other person to hurt like we hurt. But as they always say, if everybody's going an eye for an eye, you know, then everybody's, you know, after a while, everybody's going to be walking around blind, you know, and that's the concept. We have to recognize it should not be about revenge. It should be about reconciliation, about us coming back together, trying to resolve this conflict so that we can get back on one accord. So you've got to practice lowering your tone instead of raising your voice. You've got to practice trying to calm down instead of escalating. Even difficult truth can be spoken in love. It's hard sometimes because things get emotional. And that's why sometimes you got to hold on. Let's stop. Let's pray. And let's have this conversation, because sometimes things get tense. Sometimes things get emotional. Sometimes things get tense. You know, sometimes things get touchy because it's a touchy subject. Sometimes things are things that we feel a certain way about, but we've got to recognize that there's something greater at stake. And you always got to realize that there is somebody else involved in this, because anytime there's discord, anytime there is strife, it's not because you and your spouse are at odds. It's because the enemy has stepped in. He has crept in, and he's found a place to start a issue, to cause a problem. And if you allow it to continue, then now you all are pointing fingers at each other. It's just like, for example, you're standing there and somebody throws a rock and then hides their hand. And now you're fighting with each other, and you're not even the one, because you got hit And now you hit back at somebody else because you thought they hit you, and neither of you had anything to do with one another. Somebody else threw the rock. And that's how the enemy operates. He throws rocks and he hides his hands. And so now you're at odds with one another, and it was him all along. And so you've got to recognize that. And so that's why it's good practice just to calm down and then talk about the situation that's going on.
And, you know, you got to be careful about your tone. And, you know, ladies, many times we become defensive. Sometimes, as you know, many people say women are emotional, so everything could go all over the place. And you're thinking you're trying to say or convey your feeling and your emotion, but it doesn't come out correctly. Or, you know, maybe you say it in the wrong tone yourself. But see, you got to be careful, because if you don't have an opportunity to speak or have an opportunity to share your heart, women, we are known to shut down. And when you shut down, that's when the enemy comes in and tries to keep you shut, you know, meaning keep your mouth shut. Don't, you know, say anything, keep your mouth shut. And, you know, basically that is problematic in a relationship. You know, when Pastor Tuck and I first got married, he and I got into this argument, and sometimes the tone when he gets passionate about something, it can sound aggressive when really it's not. It's just that he's trying to make, quote unquote, his point. But at one point, it reminded me constantly of how my dad would talk to my mom. And trust me, it wasn't always pleasant witnessing that as a child and, you know, going through through adolescence, you know. And when he saw the reaction that I kept having, because I kept getting defensive. It wasn't shutting down at that time. I kept firing back because I saw my mom absorb and take a lot in their intense moments of fellowship. And she wasn't able to work through her stuff or be even a chance to talk about it, you know? So with him, when he would get upset, you know, when we first got married, again, I kept firing back. You know, when you're on defense, you get in the stance of being defensed or defensive. You know, you're not going to stand there and open yourself up. And when I started doing that a lot, almost every time we had an argument, he finally stopped and said, Stephanie, I'm not your daddy. I am not your dad. I'm your husband. I'm not your dad. I'm your husband. And I think over time in our marriage, he's recognized that the way your tone is inflected or reflected, it can definitely cause a reaction. It can cause a reaction that's positive, or it can cause a reaction that's not. It can cause a response that's positive and helpful, or it can cause a response that's not. But you have to choose how to deal with each other, because, you know, love can lead the way. You know, everybody said, what's love got to do with it? Well, love has a lot to do with it, because Jesus taught love. And in 1 Peter 4:8, he says, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. You know, it's amazing when you think about a multitude of sins. I mean, if you think about it in a marriage, some of the sins when it comes to conflict resolution, you know, the sin is, you know, being angry, bitterness, strife, you know, just different type of things that are the spirit of the flesh, not the spirits of the fruit. And when love, he says, love covers all things, true love, you know, not fake love or putting on the front that you're in love, you know, none of that covers faults. But the true love, meaning the true love that you gain, not only from one another, but the true love that you obtain from Jesus. I mean, you know, especially when it's time to communicate or, you know, just being involved with different things. So, you know, it's important that it covers all faults and it doesn't bring out what's magnified, meaning you do this every time, you do this every time, you do this every time. You know, when you're under a magnifying glass, everything is brought up to your face. It's either brought up to your face, or if you hold a source of light into that magnifying glass, it's going to burn. It's going to hurt. So you have to gauge, you know, hey, all right, I'm going to put this magnifying glass aside. Help me, Lord, develop true love so that I don't place fault on my spouse. And forgiveness is essential. You know, forgiveness causes unresolved offenses. Like, you know, it covers those things. Forgiveness, you have to be able to forgive. As Jesus said, you know, forgive 70 times seven, you know. He definitely showed the epitome of forgiveness, not only of others, but forgiveness of themselves. You know, if you sit there, you don't forgive yourself after y'all have had a disagreement and you're still carrying around condemnation and guilt that really wasn't, you know, there to even be involved in that conflict. You know, you got to forgive yourself. You got to forgive your unresolved issues, and you got to forgive the unresolved issues between you and your spouse, because unresolved offenses, they're literally like termites in the foundation of marriage. Now, you know, if you've ever seen termites before, a lot of times people don't know they have it, had them, until there's major structural damage to the house, you know. And by having them unresolved or not taking care of them, they end up becoming swarms. And then swarms end up really damaging parts of the foundation of the home. So same thing with unresolved issues. You know, we may think it may be one or two issues. It may be, you know, unresolved offenses that it may be one or two offenses. But if you don't deal with them and don't forgive, you'll walk around in unforgiveness and all you're doing is building more termites. So, you know, love means choosing the marriage over the argument. Choose the marriage over the argument. You know, it's very important to end every conflict with reassurance. Reassurance helps reinforce what love and connection really is, you know. And certain gestures of reassurance would be like a hug, a prayer, or a word of affirmation that we're on the same team. Or I appreciate you, or, you know, you mean the world to me. So, you know, those type of words of affirmation, they're helpful. We have to establish rules of engagement, you know, just like any other situation. If you have a team of people, or you have literally the enemy, like us versus them, there's rule of engagement. You know, for conflict, for example, for us or for husband and wife, there's no name calling, no silent treatment, no fighting in front of kids. Oh my gosh. There are so many times kids are in the earshot of certain intense moments of fellowship, and it does affect them. It affected me because I heard it, you know, and as a result, it caused me to deal with relationships differently throughout my life. So you have to be mindful where you have these discussions, mindful where you have the arguments. And, you know, we talk about like having check-ins. Many times our days are very full. We don't know what everybody's doing or even each other doing every minute. And we're still in the same house, you know. So sometimes checking in conversations before resentment builds is helpful. You know, resentment happens when there's things that are unspoken. Resentment happens when there are things that your spouse doesn't understand and is not willing to understand. So, you know, it's important to do a check-in. When you check into something, you typically invest some sort of effort and time to build up the conversation, to build up the trust, to build up the connection. And the commitment to praying together after disagreements is helpful. And, you know, if you don't feel like your heart is right as you're praying, then be honest about that. You know, take a moment, get yourself together, seek the Lord for how you can deal with it, and then come together and pray.
That's good. You know, and, you know, all of these things are very important when you start talking about conflict resolution and, you know, fighting fair. And so we want to give you some homework that's things that you can work on for yourself, you know, to make sure that you get better at this, because every couple needs to get better at this. I don't care how long you've been married. Conflict's always going to rise. It doesn't matter, because like you said, as you spend time together, like you said, the enemy is always going to try to come after you. That's what he does. That's his job. And he ain't quitting until Jesus come back, even though he's already a defeated foe. That's what he does. And so you've got to make sure that you're constantly honing your skills so that you can constantly get better at this. So I want to give you some homework. This week, I want you to identify one reoccurring conflict in your marriage. Write it down and discuss it calmly, focusing on the issue, not the person. You know, recognize that this is something that we're constantly dealing with. Why is it? And what's the reason? And let's figure out how we can make this better. Because if this is something we're constantly dealing with, there's a reason for it.
You know, I like the fact that it says write it down. Many times when we begin to talk, some people aren't effective communicators right off the cuff. So by writing it down, it gives you a template about what you want to go back to so that you don't miss a point. And discussing it calmly, you know, a lot of times y'all are like, okay, yeah, calm, that's going to happen. Well, you know, if you're sitting there preparing your argument or preparing your point before even discussing it, you know, you've just totally just lost the effectiveness of, excuse me, this homework. I'm sorry, I got the hiccups. Each spouse should journal what triggers their anger most and share it with their partner. Wow. And a lot of times, if, for example, when I used to give counseling to people, I would tell them, you know, if there is a situation that happened and it made you feel some kind of way, sometimes you got to step and go, well, was that helpful or unhelpful? You know, many times some of the situations may have been helpful, may not have made you feel good at the time, but they were helpful. And if they were unhelpful, you know, you got to think about, okay, you know, what can I do differently? You know, do I continue to keep this the same? So, you know, what are my triggers? You hear people all the time, I'm triggered, I'm triggered, I'm triggered. Well, you know, when you are triggered, and typically triggers don't happen where you laugh and joke and hee 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 and ha ha ha. No, triggers are usually fueled by something. And it's fueled in the midst of anger. So it's important that each spouse should journal what triggers their anger most and share it with their partner. Because your partner might not even know. You might assume they know, but they don't.
Practice ending conflicts by praying together out loud, even if you don't feel like it. Because we say that marriage is a covenant between three people. And so just because two of you got into a conflict doesn't mean that the third person was in it. And so a good way to end that conflict is by bringing in the tiebreaker. If that's what, because see, a conflict usually happens because two people have a differing opinion, have a differing point of view. Well, bring the person in that has, because we always say, you know, there are three sides to every story. Your side, my side, and the truth. So when you pray, that's what you're doing. You're actually bringing the truth into it. Because there's conflict because my side doesn't match your side. Well, if we bring the truth into it, then we can settle the matter. And that's what you do when you pray. You're inviting the truth because he's the truth.
And you're inviting not only him, but you're inviting his spirit that's already in you. The Holy Spirit has a way of revealing things that you might not have even considered. And the Holy Spirit might, you know, smack you up beside the head when you're in the bathroom, you know, or if you're doing something and you hear that voice say, you know what, y'all need to go back and talk about this. Or you know what, maybe you got to get a better understanding of what she's trying to say. You know what? You got to recognize that he has feelings too. He's not this ogre that's running throughout the house. No. So, you know, by putting the third person, which means our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he's in the middle of it. He is mediating, and his spirit that's in us can connect with the Holy Spirit that can lead us and guide us.
And so, you know, you don't have to avoid conflict. You just need to fight fair. You know, when handled God's way, conflict can bring you closer instead of pushing you apart. See, one thing I think so many people are afraid of conflict. Conflict is not necessarily a bad thing. It just means we've got two different perspectives. And if we understand one another's perspective and appreciate one another's perspective, we just gained. Because greater perspective, if I can see two points of view instead of one, now I have a wider range of view.
Because it can't be all one-sided.
And so that's the thing. It's like once you can get an understanding of both points of view, now you can see more. Mm-hmm. But that's the problem. That's what happens when those two opposing points of view come together. So first, now we've got to come to some solution now. Mm-hmm. But you've got to have that conflict. That's got to happen because you got to recognize that there is a conflict there. Because now we understand. And I always go back to it's as simple as, like you said, you come from a place where you keep ketchup in the refrigerator, they keep ketchup in the cabinet. Like you said, the first time you eat fries and you got cold ketchup, you're like, wait a minute, this is different. So now there's a conflict. And so once you come to a decision, one way or the other, there's a resolution, but one thing about it is now you know what it's like. You've experienced both. So now you got a greater level of experience. So it's not a bad thing, but now you've got a greater perspective. So whether or not you decide that you're going to go one way or the other, now you at least know what the other experience is. So you've got a greater level of understanding. So, but you've got to go through that process. So it's going to actually bring you closer together. Remember, the real enemy is not your spouse, but Satan. He seeks to divide. So you got to stand united and learn to fight fair and let love prevail in all of it. You know, you've got to think about some things. How do you normally handle conflict? How do you do that? Do you avoid it? Do you explode or do you engage calmly?
And typically, I'm pretty certain it's avoid and explode. Just because that's the nature of humans. You know, if you feel attacked, you're going to do something to protect yourself. And by avoiding stuff, you may think, oh, well, you know, this protects me. I don't have to deal with it, but it's going to come back. So it's important to engage calmly. Or at least enough to hear and respect what the other person says.
You know, think about what was the last disagreement you and your spouse had and how you handled it. You know, was it something healthy or not? Or do we really need some work in that? Yeah. You know, think about which rules of engagement would help improve your conflict resolution. You know, what do we really need to do better at? I want you to think about how you can remind each other in heated moments that we're on the same team. That's important because it's in those moments that you really become selfish. You really start to think about your perspective, but you've got to remind each other we're on the same team here.
And recognizing that, you know, each one has their different views on what makes the team. You hear people say there's no I in team, there's no I in team. And there is no I in team when it comes to marriage. But, you know, just being able to identify those things.
And what role does prayer play in your conflict resolution now? And how can you make it more central?
Even if you have a devotional, you know, and you read, we both have devotionals, one for men, for him, one for women, for me, of course, and then one for couples that, you know, we read and reflect on it. And, you know, at times there may be something that pops out and that's something that you pray about, you know, because again, the Holy Spirit will intercede on your behalf, even when you don't have the words to say.
Think about how you can apply Proverbs 15 that says a soft answer turns away wrath in your next disagreement. Mm-hmm. Think about what that, how you can put that into action.
Yeah.
And I want you to consider what it would look like in your marriage if every conflict ended with forgiveness and reassurance. Because that's what it means to truly fight fair. That's what it means.
And you have to have you have to be comfortable with one another. You know, you don't want to feel awkward in your marriage. So, you know, by having forgiveness and having some sort of reassurance, it helps you be more transparent and, you know, respect one another.
We pray this bless you and helps you, because there's so many people who are just struggling. And when we hear people say that marriage is difficult or marriage is hard, it's because they don't know how to handle the conflicts. When you hear people talk about how bad marriage is, it's because they don't know how to deal with the fact that you have two different people with two different mindsets, two different backgrounds, trying to live in two imperfect people trying to live together. They've not learned how to relate. That's what relationship is. Mm-hmm. Two different people trying to relate to one another, and they've never learned how to relate. Yeah. Because when conflict arises is when relationships become difficult. But that's what marriage is. It's learning how to marry, to bring those two things together. It's the two becoming one flesh. Is that weaving of the life, and that during that weaving process, you're going to get to places where they're going to be rough places where that blending is not easy. And that's when you've got to learn how to go through that process. And if you're not equipped for that, that's when you think marriage is difficult. That's when you think that this isn't going to work, but that's the effort that it requires. It's not difficult. It just requires effort, and you got to do it the way God said.
It's funny when he even said that, y'all know we love Legos. And I find that when I don't use the book exactly right, I have a mess. You know, I don't even look at the template. I think I know everything and I'm able to hook these pieces all together. And I have the total project become extremely difficult because I think that I know everything. When really the book gives you examples and structure about what steps to take to make a beautiful Lego piece, you know? So it's important to remember that, you know, yeah, fight fair, that you may not know everything, your spouse may not know everything, but y'all can bring to the surface about, you know, things that y'all either do together or things that you two need to work on.
And so that's what you have to do. Yeah. You have to put the effort in for this thing to work. But if you do, you'll have something that will last. But we pray this word bless you. We're going to go ahead and pray for you today that you will learn how to have good biblical conflict resolution, that you'll learn how to fight fair. Let us pray. Lord, help us to fight fair. Guard our tongues from harsh words. Soften our hearts toward forgiveness. Remind us that we're not enemies, but partners. Teach us to resolve conflict in a way that glorifies you and strengthens our marriage. that we may have a marriage that the world desires and makes them know that Jesus is Lord. And we declare it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We pray this blessed you today. And we declare that the anointing that rests on us rests on you. And if you've been blessed by marriage seer training or any of our ministries here at My Church Virtual Ministries, and you desire to help us continue to do what God's called us to do, then you can help us by sowing a financial seed. You can use $ My Church Channel on Cash App, or go to our website, lovemychurch.org, and click sow a seed. At My Church Virtual Ministries, we have the mandate to spread the gospel all around the world, and we have all kinds of faith-based content here. We have the Leadership Academy, Women of Worth, the Man Cave. We've got My Church Marriage Seer Training. We've got the Heart of the Pastor. We've got Medicine for the Mind on Sunday mornings. We've got Victory Today with Apostles Tony and Cynthia Brazelton. We've got The Enjoyable Life with Drs. Russell and Yavita Cash. But our job is to make sure that we've got faith-based content to help you become the well-rounded believer that God desires you to be, and to help you walk out this faith walk the way he desires. And if you want to help us continue to make sure that the word is available all around the world, click that donate button, sow a financial seed. But God bless you. We love you today. And stay tuned for our announcements, and make sure you come back and see us again. I'm Pastor Tuck. That's Pastor Steph. God bless you. We love you. And come back and see us next time. See you soon.
I won't let you go until you bless me. There's got to be a resolve on the inside of the church. Woo, glory!
He says, you show up and let the Lord speak to you.
Glory to God.
First responsibility of leadership is in your home. And that's why it's your ministry to your spouse and your kids that matters the most.
Different from ever before. If your recovery is fresh, or if your addiction-free lifestyle.
I want to be able to rejoice in the adversities that were there.
We're seeing all of these things happen. And the sad thing is, it's happening by our own decision. You know, a lot of people deal with a lot of depression, mm-hmm. anxiety, frustration. Just thinking back, man, you know, how long this run has been going with us, man.
That's right.
You know. At My Church, we help people get better by teaching them how the Word works. And we want to make sure there's no excuse not to get the Word. It's our goal to make all of our ministries accessible on every smartphone, tablet, PC, and television connected to the internet. So whether you're a man who needs some wisdom, a woman who needs some encouragement, or a couple who needs guidance, the My Church channel has just what you need. Simply search for the My Church channel on Roku, Fire Stick, Apple TV, Google TV, and now LG TV, or visit mychurchchannel.org. You can also download the My Church On The Go app from the Apple or Google Play App Store. Constantly on the move, check out the Word at My Church podcast from your favorite podcast platform. Or simply download the Word at My Church skill from your Alexa-enabled device. But whatever you do, make sure you stay connected. See you soon.